I really found it interesting last night when Anthea Jeffrey was saying it's time to use the Constitution, because it's like the rules are there, but we've all backed off them. And now what you're saying is there are other rules that you can use by forcing the municipality to pay for things that otherwise they wouldn't want to pay. Give us a practical example of how you would do that next time round.
So I agree with that. What you don't want is wildcat tax revolts at a local government level. So what you need to do is use the rule of law, and that's the Constitution. We have rights. Municipalities receive money for a job that they have to do, and if they don't do it, you can do it, and you can claim it back from them. So they have done that in Harry Smith, they've done it in Sunnyzorth, they've done it in Costa, they've done it now in Mungoong recently. So the two classic cases that we quote now, recently the Westville Ratepayers Association went on a tax revolt, a localized tax revolt, and they lost, and they rightfully so, they lost. But Mungoong did it the right way. They went to court and got the order in their favor that said, this is what we pay our fees for. So it was sanitation and waste removal in that specific area. The municipality wasn't doing their job. So they said, fine, we're going to do it, but we're warning you first. We're giving you time to fix your processes, and they didn't. And they got their own waste removal company in and went to the city and said, you must now pay for this. The city was very arrogant and said, no, we're not. And they lost in court. The court order now is that they have to pay for that. That's one example, and there are many, and there are going to be more to come. So we will fix potholes in Joburg. We will fix water leaks with engineers. We want to put a team together. A formidable team. I mean, these teams cost nothing more less than 3 million rand a month to run. You have to have systems. You have to have governance, do it properly. You have to give the notifications to the municipality or the metro. And then we're going to do the work and do that work properly and then bill them. But it's a process. So now you need to build a fund for the infrastructure build, and you need to build the litigation war chest. Our success is that we do have a litigation war chest provision that we can go. There's nothing worse than saying to somebody in authority who's about to abuse it, just hold on, don't make the decision while we rush off and try and raise some money. So one of the first things we did as we built the new ARTA was to build a litigation war chest, and it's worked in our favor a number of times. We've stopped a number of deals going down. So that's the way we're going to have to do it. It's hard, it's painful, and it takes time, but I think eventually you wear them down. They get tired of you coming after them, and we don't go after the city. We go after the people in their personal capacities. We make their costs orders against them if they're going to break their own bylaws and rules and slow things down and be obstreperous the way they are, quite frankly. So we have to fight fire with fire. And we'll kick those doors down, and we'll get into those councils, and we'll have our people elected there. Now, we're not going into politics for the sake. We don't want to get to the space because we've been asked, why don't you become a political party? That's not where we're going. We're going into a space where citizens need to start owning up and becoming part of the solution by actually being the councillors in the future. And when we get that right, I think we'll be teaching the political process something different here. And we don't have the luxury of just sitting back and say, well, I pay my taxes, so they must just fix it. It doesn't work like that.
I'd like you to elaborate as well on that point of independence getting involved at a local level. The point I was making to Ian a little bit earlier was that just from the group of people that we've seen here who are going to Parliament,
yeah,
that's going to uplift the level of the debate, perhaps many other things. On a local level, how do you see that working out? Who are you going to be tapping to say, hey, become an independent and we will support you? Or do you think it'll just happen by osmosis?
I think it will happen naturally. So what will happen is a lot of resident associations have sorted the last local elections, and Michael Louis and his independent candidates process is going to evolve, I think, a bit more. We saw a lot of resident associations in a number of towns around the country form their own political parties, stand for elections and win. And then winning within coalition now with the political people, suddenly in those councils, the discussions take a different turn. And you're going to see that, I think, a lot more. So what we're asking for is that people in these metros and municipalities, as we get these community leaders to start taking a stand, to be cleaning up, to be making a difference in their areas. And we have to defend them, by the way. And if the municipality comes and wants to lock them up because they're fixing a pothole, we'll take them on. We'll take the municipality on and have to defend those people. And the courts will rule in your favor because the courts are getting fed up with the municipalities. They cannot stop you from fixing that which the municipality doesn't fix. So we have to do it that way. I think the politics is going to change at the national level, and it's great to see Ian and others going into politics. I was wooed by two political parties to get into government as well with an MP guaranteed seat, but I turned it down. I came close, but then it wasn't the DA.
Why? Why did you turn it down?
Well, it was a bit late in the day on the requests, and secondly, I think there's too much work to be done, and we're on a roll now. There are things that are happening, and we've got to fix Joburg. We've got to fix Ekurhuleni. That's those metropolises that there's some work that has to be done in setting up the structures. And I think if we get the big property owners who have the biggest, they stand to lose billions. If they don't want to invest a few million into this initiative, well, then we won't do it. I can assure you that now, because I'm tired. Alec, I'm very, very tired. I'll give you one quick example of the absence of business. We were asked to look into a matter that they've been fighting on the national regulatory body for compliance and regulations and specifications, NRCS. It's been years, and it's a mess, the NRCS. It's a mess. This is the organization that makes sure that the quality of fridges, stoves, kettles, irons, plugs, light fittings, anything, the specifications are met. It's a very necessary body. It's so paper-based. It's so bad. It takes 180 days to get a letter of authority to bring something in. Here's an example. A CEO of a company here trying to bring in a new appliance had to ask the company in America who makes the stuff, look, please hold. Can you keep manufacturing this one line while we get the approvals to bring in the new model that they were launching overseas? And they said, we can't do that. We can't run an old production line for 1% of our market. Just tell your South African authorities, if they don't fix their mess, we'll close the business down. He was about to lose hundreds of jobs. And this is the mentality here, is that the DTI are just so out of touch. They're so archaic. So business comes to us and says, will you challenge this? And we had a look at it and said, we will challenge this only on the grounds that it is good for society. So we went and took 13 products off the shelves of the builders' warehouses and other places. 12 of them failed the specifications. Now, we are building houses with these plug fittings in them, light fittings. They fail because they're not doing their job. So we said to business, we will do this, but on our terms. And our terms are that if we need to go and challenge government and go to court on this, we hope you're there. Now, we're not asking you to be there because we're not fighting your agenda. We're fighting this for the public. So we hope you're there. I had to go and explain this to this board, this industry association, 15 industry leaders around the table. And they want to hear about this. So we tell them modus operandi. They said, that's great. Go for it. Said, that's nice. Do you know that we're going to have to go and appoint a project manager and get specialists to fight this? Oh, do you need our help? Well, we can't solicit funds from you. We are non-taxed. We're not a legal firm. We're not a guns for hire. But it would be nice. It would be nice. And before we even fight this, Mr. Business Owners, big industry business owners, just let me park that. Let me tell you what ARTA does, the 280 projects that we've done, the types of things. Gupta's, what, 2 billion rand, Bank of Baroda, lots of these big projects. Is that not worth supporting ARTA for? Just that. Absolutely. Yes, we should. Okay, now you know we're going to do this project. Whether you're with us or not, we're going to do it for the country. So maybe that'll inspire you to support us. That was 18 months ago. Not one of those organizations donated a cent to us. That's sad.
And when we talk about, on BizNews, when we talk about big business not coming to the party, there's always somebody who says, no, you're wrong. When Rob Herzog stands up and says, come on, big business, there's always someone talking to the man in the arena and having a go at him. So I guess that's one area where you've put a finger on it. But what about what you were saying a moment ago, disguised, but about the DA in Johannesburg? What is your thinking there? Because are they out of touch with the residents by following this line of saying, no, we're not going to do a deal with Gayton McKenzie. We think he's a whatever they think he is. And we'll let this pillaging continue until the next election, which is how many years away?
Yeah. And that's what frustrates me about the politics. I do lay blame at the door of all of them, quite frankly, because they knew what was happening. They knew what would happen. Now, I'm not saying make a deal with the devil in a way that, compromises you as a political party. I'm saying make the deals that keep the bad guys' fingers out the tills while you deal and help fix this mess. Joburg is not easy. I mean, I've spoken to some of those political parties, and they said, no, if you offer us Joburg tomorrow, we don't want it. It's sad. It's sad. Why not? Why are you not thinking about the residents and the citizens that we have to suffer every day for this? And so our message to the political players there was, we can make this a world-class city together with citizens. We will help you. We will give you the information you need. We will cut the grass in the parks. We'll make you the heroes. But bring us on board. Don't shut us out. And their attitude is, we want to win it all. We don't want the little parties interfering. So if it gets damaged enough, maybe everybody will think about voting. Well, it's not going to happen that way, DA. It isn't. And I think some of those points were made very clearly last week, in the last couple of days. If you have a ruling party that is failing and sliding like that, I mean, in business, you and I know when your opposition is sliding, this is the opportunity to grow. And you cannot grow. You have a problem. And that's why there are all these breakaway parties. And it's necessary for them to go in there. And it's not going to get easier for the DA. It's going to get worse for them unless they change their attitude. I'm serious in that. It really may irks me to think and see that type of arrogance comes before the people, because they fall into the same trap as the ANC.
And an independent presumably would have a different approach. But there is some hope. Our hometown.
Yeah.
How's that? I mean, since November 2021, the IFP has celebrated 12 victories over the ANC, taking 12 wards away.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they took 3. Now, that tells me that maybe the IFP is not going to be sitting at 2%, as the Brenthurst poll says. Those results were seismic, from under 20% in each of the wards to over 60%. Something's happening in KZN.
Absolutely. I mean, I must say, Hlabisa is a strategist. He's a good guy. That party is coming right. I think Mangosuthu did a fantastic job. We heard the history lesson, and I guess that's built into their culture. He overstayed his welcome, needed to bring on people like Hlabisa earlier, but now that it's happening, you can see the results. I think the IFP are going to be a force to be reckoned with in KZN and a couple of other places. And those parties, as they come into the fray, and Action SA and the PA, maybe to some extent Rise Mzansi, are going to be forces to be reckoned with. I just wish that business who ploughed in the millions they did it for the Roger Jardine's party could start taking a view and saying, maybe we need to start backing civil society as well. Imagine what civil society could do with that that amount of funding. Not just us. I mean, there's many of them. Free Market Foundation, as we've heard, Ian Cameron's initiatives that he was putting together. There's so much that is being done that I don't think business realizes what would have happened if we didn't stop car parships from coming in. It's crazy. And we just wrap that up in court. We just have to do that type of stuff.
Now, if anybody knows the real Jacob Zuma, it would be Wayne Duvernay, given your long fight against his girlfriend, Ludumyeni.
Yeah.
What threat does MK hold in KZN, and maybe more than that? Just remind us who this Jacob Zuma is.
Well, he's a thug. The whole state captured gender is very clear to see. He went out there, he was pliable, and a few people were able to hijack this country to the extent that, you know, I recall when he got rid of Mtsebisi Jonas and Gordon. It was just brazen, you know, how he thinks he can fire two ministers overnight. It did spark Mark Hayward and myself and Zwelinzi Mavavi having a quick call within a week. We had the 60,000 people around the country marching. You know, middle-class South Africa marching like that for the first time in a long time was quite interesting. And it just grew out of an energy. But coming back to the issue of Jacob, I mean, when we had Dudumyeni declared delinquent, he was still in power. You know, people were saying, what can you do? Well, think. Let's think. What else can we do? She was on the board of Mthlatuzi Water Board and others about to be placed in the Eskom board. We said, well, let's stop her from ever being able to sit on any board. So we went and spent 6 million rand, by the way, on a court case to have her declared delinquent. But what that case did was set a precedent. Now, we want to set up a delinquent director unit. It costs a lot. And we can take on so many people. We sit down with business leadership. We say, guys, there's an opportunity here. Because accountability is not just jail sentences. And there are many ways. I mean, when we had Ndile Nongogo fired from NSFAS, we then also went and laid a case with SAICA. He will lose his charter. He's worked hard for his chartered accountant's qualification. That's part of the accountability drive that we bring, multifaceted approach. So taking Dudumyeni out the system, it was so nice to write a letter to the Jacob Zuma Foundation and say, she is no longer your chairperson. Take her name off your letterhead. And that's the reality. She can't sit on a board. Now, of course, he's gone and she probably wasn't going to, but at the time we didn't know that. We have to do this to so many people that are sitting on boards right now that are placed there by the corrupt cabal.
So when we, for this part of the conversation, can end on a bit of a high note, it looks like the country of no consequences could become a country of at least some consequences, maybe very definitely heavy consequences through the actions of just using what's there, the rules that are available.
Exactly. Yeah, we got great laws, and the courts are still strong, but we got to use them, and they're not cheap. So there are many ways to do that. As I said, we've got our own legal team that build these cases fast and furious. And by the way, we give our cases and all the work to the SIU. We've got a great working relationship with them, with the Auditor General. We have regular meetings now. They come to us and they say, we're going to audit here and there in this state and entity. What do you have for us? Where should we be going to scratch? It's brilliant stuff. I can tell you there's some really good people. And Ian's right, even in the police, there are some fantastic people. We've got to help those people become champions. So use the rule of law. Use the expertise that is out there. And we can go out there and make a difference. And I always say, you know, as I said earlier, who's in power today is not necessarily in power tomorrow. These institutions change. And so, I mean, we didn't have to, we have laid criminal charges against Ndile Nongogo, who was the CEO of NSFAS, but he's now gone. The chairperson was next in our sights. He's gone. I don't need the NPA to take these guys out. They feel the pain of the narrative that we drive. The fire, we just keep that fire burning so hot, and the whistleblowers bring us more information, and we keep that fire going, and it's not burning in Bladen Zamande's kitchen, and he must go as well. And so there's a lot of evidence and information that is there. So when Ernest Khoza, the ex-chairperson of NSFAS, and Blade threaten us with court action, with defamation, we say, come, bring it on. Because we've got the facts. You might think we don't have. So this whole issue of narrative economics, this game, it's a lovely one. When you own the narrative and you push the envelope, you're inviting them to come and challenge you. And you say it so damningly that they say, well, we're going to sue you for defamation. Come, We've got information that we would love to ventilate in court so that the courts can say, actually, you are corrupt.
You pulled a lot of dots together, I think, hopefully for lots of people, and more strength to your elbow. We are now opening to the floor. There's a question that side.
Thanks, Wayne. Your message is inspiring. You make a clarion call to big business to support you via the CSI channel. What's your message to SMMEs? I don't represent the other sectors, but the asset management sector is badly hamstrung by the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Co. Via, you know, BE points. So you've got a limited budget that you've got to allocate to CSI. How do you suggest we circumvent that from the scorecard perspective? Thanks.
You know, I don't know how. I think there's a challenge, there's an issue with the whole BE codes. It hasn't worked, as we've heard this. The comments have been made on that, and I think we need to, through Business for South Africa, BLSA, start taking that fight to government and fix it, because we do need transformation, but we don't need it in the way that it has been happening. I think when it comes down to CSI spend, as I said earlier, you need to go beyond just the boundaries. I mean, I know there in corporate life, we feel good when we paint a school and we go out there and do a few changes. I'm not saying stop that, but I'm saying step back and ask yourself, what are the big issues? I can tell you right now, the skills development levy is a tick box exercise for business. But we're uncovering so much corruption in the CETAs. We have a fight to fight. And then on this in-CETA, the Insurance CETA Board, sits SAIA, the South African Association, the Insurance Association. We've got big members, the big insurance company. And they look away. They look away at the issues that are being uncovered by a brave one training provider, a company called GIFS, the Graduate Institute for Financial Sciences, stands up and challenges them. And what do? In CETA, they discredit him, they take him off their books, they kill his business. That oaf's a hero, but his business is dying. We need to support people like that. He's standing up. Because of his standing up, whistleblowers are coming forward. There's another network of blades that is out there that we have to take down. Stop. You know, you need to go to your industry bodies and start questioning, what are you paying skills development levy for? We can take this fight on as well. We want to take it on. But I think the investment that we get for that SDR is putrid. We have to challenge it. I urge all of you in your various sectors to tell your industry bodies to challenge your sectoral education training authority, what's happening with those fees, and put the pressure on from your side and make that fire burn up from business's side, and maybe we'll get to the bottom of that issue right now. But those CEOs and those chairpersons of those CETAs, I can tell you, so much money is being repurposed, and it's corrupt as hell. By the way, if you do support us, we give you a Section 18A certificate. You can get some tax back.
Thank you, Wayne. My question is around national tax revolt.
Yeah.
I'm curious as why you said that they, big business presumably, or business in general, would never do it. Mm. Just give us the thinking behind that. Have they ever been asked, number one, or have they ever been put under pressure to do it? And how is this reconciled, if we can talk liberally about the ANC and government being basically a criminal and corrupt enterprise, that we continue, us taxpayers, to finance it?
So I didn't get the past one about the ANC?
Sorry?
Corrupt. Well, sorry, what was the last part about the ANC?
That they're a corrupt and criminal organization.
Yeah. Okay.
Not only in the ANC, I mean the government as well.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Got it.
So on the tax revolt nationally, so there's just two elements there that I was saying, and we've had this debate, and I've had it before. I think Helen Ziller mentioned it a few years ago, and we got into debate on it. Firstly, let's just be careful, as I said, what we wish for, because if we got it, you can't recover from that anarchy. But if you don't have big business, you couldn't do it. Now, Why weren't they? We've had the discussions with them because it is a threat that government does worry about. Let me tell you, at local government level, they worry a lot more because those are controllable. Very difficult to pull it off in Joburg, but it can be done. Easy to pull it off in Sonny's off and Harry Smith, and that's where they can get it right. So big business, well, just the fear that they have, what I've seen in so many places of challenging, tells me that they won't. But if you could get them to, then it might happen. But I wouldn't advocate for it. But they are, you know, a lot of provisional taxpayers say, well, I won't pay my tax. I'll go on a tax. Well, that's a small percentage. Business pays the PAYE, excise duties, VAT, company tax. And so 80 to 90% of it is channeled through mechanisms. And then obviously the law is on the side of the SARS. They can just go and extract the funds out of their bank account. They don't want to go into that fight. So they will never go there. But I think rightfully so. More so because I don't think we want a national tax revolt. We've got to fix it another way. But at local government level, it's a different story. We can do that.
Yeah, it sounds like there's lots of levers to pull, but we haven't been pulling any up until this point. You're having quite a good conference.
Sorry?
You're having quite a good conference. Let's keep this 15 seconds, shall we?
Yeah, okay, I'll do my best. I think what you say is fantastic, okay? But I live in the Western Cape. You don't know how many people are asking for donations. You can't donate to everybody.
Yeah.
I believe your method is fantastic. I can't vote for you because I've got a lot of other people to vote for, but I can donate, you know?
Hmm.
All I can do, it'll be a very small donation, but the people you should be donating to, you're right next to you, are the guys with those big bloody buildings in Rosebank. They should be donating, but I will donate from the...
Thank you. Now, look, our average donation is from individuals. We are 69-70% funded by individuals, crowdfunded, average donation of 150 Rand a month. That's fantastic. Businesses, SMMEs is our next biggest sector, and that is about 450 Rand a month. But there are some big there's some big companies giving us 20 grand a month, and one or two individuals that give us a lot more, and we're grateful to them. But it is 98% crowdfunded, and we need it. And you're quite right. You know, when I was speaking at an industry investment conference with the REIT guys the other day, and this whole issue of stranded assets is a big issue. It's billions of rands with just 10, 15 companies. 10 to 15 companies will stand to lose billions if Joburg fails and others. And they're failing. People are moving. And we said, well, let's fix Joburg. Here's the plan. Well, it's great. What do you need? Well, we need an infrastructure fund, a litigation fund, and 3 million rand a month. So between you, could you fund this? But don't see it as a donation. See it as an investment in your investments here. See it as a protection. And when you start seeing it that way and changing your mindset, then maybe that becomes the catalyst to people say, actually, we've got no choice. We have to do this. But it's hard. It's just hard to get those people to think that way. But thanks to you for committing to donate. It's easy. It takes 5 minutes at outer.co.za. Click on join now, and I'm sure there'll be another 200 or so, Alec, donors on our system. Hope.
It might be hard, but it is far satisfying. Can you imagine for a minute that this conference was sponsored by a big business? Can you imagine what the context would have been here? Can you imagine who would not have been speaking? So thank you for your support to us as well. Yeah. There's a trend. There's a tribe.
Yeah.
You know, we know there's a lot wrong, and we know we've got to be independent to address it. And he's independent. That, as I told you when I introduced him. I've known that for, I won't say how many years, but it's quite a few decades. Okay. Who's next? Shall we just talk about Newcastle and no parking? And oh, wait. It's been such a pleasure talking to you again and having you here at the conference. And I hope you enjoyed the discourse that you saw. But I'd really like to get your feel now, Because you deal out there. You call the ANC the criminal organization as you see it. How do you see this election going? And what do you see happening after?
Yeah, I don't, I'm not sure of those Brenthurst figures. I do see the ANC around about 40%. That's a big drop, maybe slightly worse off than that. And I don't see much of a climb in the DA's figures, 22-23% max. And the MK parties, I think everybody's been saying, is going to be a force to be reckoned with. But if you add up the Action SA, the Rise and Moosey's setup, Gayton's setup, I think there's a good 12-15% potentially there. And that is something to be reckoned with. So will the coalition, the multi-party pact, get over 51%? It's not going to happen. It's probably going to happen in Gauteng, maybe KZN. And as somebody said earlier, that is a game changer because now you have new oversight in those provinces. And a new oversight in Gauteng over the local government that's failing has some powers. And that together with the Auditor General working with civil society, the SIU and others, I think there's going to be some really interesting positive dynamics over the next 5 years in the 2029 elections. If we can get our house in order and if there's some shift and correction in some of the bigger alternative parties, it's going to be very interesting. Can we last that long? We're going to have to. And we're going to have to make it happen. And we're going to have to get out of our comfort zones and work hard. We will. We just got no choice. And then we'll start seeing things and we'll start to see the good growth that'll come. So I'm looking forward to these elections. But I'm looking forward to the local elections in just less than 2 years' time, local government elections. Watch what happens there. And I think that'll give you a signal of the dynamics that are going to play out.
Wayne Devenage, thanks as always.